This is the message given by Pastor James Lim during the evening worship service at Faith Presbyterian Church, Long Beach, California, for September 6th, 2020. The title of the message is A Fire in Zion.
Okay, well, brothers and sisters, if you would now open your Bibles with me as we continue on in our evening series through the Book of Lamentations, chapter 4. I've decided to split the section up into two parts, so I'm just going to read the whole, let me just read the first six verses, and then we'll finish up the next section next week. Hear now the reading of God's holy word, beginning in verse 1. How the gold has grown dim. How the pure gold is changed. The holy stones lie scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, worth their weight in fine gold, how they are regarded as earthen pots, the work of a potter's hand. Even jackals offer the breast. They nurse their young, but the daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the nursing infants sticks to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The children beg for food, but no one gives to them. Those who once feasted on delicacies perish in the streets. Those who are brought up in purple embrace, ash heaps. For the chastisement of the daughter of my people has been greater than the punishment of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment, and no hands were wrung for her. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. May he add his blessing to it this evening. You know, on one of my mission trips to Haiti, I think I've been to Haiti four times. And on the very first trip, when our missionary Ben Hopp was establishing all of his contacts and they were preparing and kind of building their missionary compound in various parts of Haiti, one of the national pastors, a Haitian pastor with connections to the States, who was educated here and he was converted under an American missionary in Haiti, he picked us up at the airport because he had a van, you know, this really nice air-conditioned van in the middle of the summer in the Caribbean humidity and heat. And I think I was talking with somebody this morning that this is almost exactly how the Haitians worship on any given Sunday. Particularly in the morning, you know, just something just like this. And maybe even not even have a canopy, but the heat and the humidity is just very close. And so it just brought back a lot of memories. But this Haitian pastor who picked us up as we were making the 90-minute drive to meet our missionary's home, we drove through various parts of Port-au-Prince and then out into the country and to the missionary's home. And, you know, it was heartbreaking and sad to see the absolute poverty, all the garbage and trash and refuse and human waste all over in the streets, in the water, you know, along the sides of the roads, and people and little children. I mean, just nothing but underwear on them, with their hands out begging for money, knowing that, you know, wealthy American, you know, short-term missionaries were in the car. I mean, you could tell. And then as we left Port-au-Prince going to the countryside, I thought to myself, well, you know, maybe things will become prettier, greener. And that was not to be the case. I mean, it was like driving towards Death Valley. It was nothing but rocky, dry, brown terrain. And it was as if, you know, when you think of Caribbean islands of lush green tropical trees, it was as if they had just all been wiped off the face of the earth. It looked like you were on this moon landscape. And as I inquired about why the countryside was the way it was, you know, nothing but cactus and weeds, and it was just, I felt my heart was was broken for Haiti at that point, the pastor started to tear, and he started to weep, and he would share how, when he was a young boy, how lush and green Haiti used to be, even before the revolution, even during slavery, in Haiti. Haiti used to be the richest country in the Western Hemisphere. It was called the jewel of the Caribbean. There used to be myths and legends of gold in every riverbed. Silver everywhere, plantations everywhere, and he started to weep at what Haiti had become. With tears in his eyes, what he was basically echoing was what the writer of Lament is echoing here. How the gold has grown dim. What used to be glorious has become so marred, so glum. And this is what our passage is all about. Tonight, in this first section, we see indeed how the gold has become dim, how that which was shimmering and bright and beautiful has become darkened and has dissipated. And it's all because of the sinful choices and consequences that the people of God has made. And that's the point of this evening's passage here. That all of us, we need to consider the consequences and the choices that we make with regards to sin. And if we do go down the road of sin, we too will be making the same, waxing nostalgic here. We will too think back on our lives and we'll remember how the gold was shimmered so brightly, but because of the choices that we made, look at how dim our lives have become. And that's what I want us to look at this evening. So let's look at how that happens. Let's look at how the gold has grown dim and why it ended up that way. First, like tarnished gold, we see God's tarnished people and the choices that they have made. The writer here is lamenting over how far Israel has fallen from her former glories as God's covenant people, right? And how everything is tarnished, everything has grown dim, everything has, it doesn't shine like it used to. In fact, it's as dirty as an earthen pot. It is a shadow of what used to be. And he tells us how the glory of Israel is gone. That's what he's saying here. The glory of and the beauty and the majesty of what Israel used to be is gone. It's like gold that has lost all of its glimmer. And so let's look at how they are tarnished, right? The children of Zion are tarnished, right? The irony of all this is that if you think about it, technically gold does not tarnish. Right? It doesn't oxidize like silver. It doesn't rust like iron. But for some reason, it doesn't shimmer anymore. And it's possible through the accumulation of oil and dirt and wear, gold can grow dim. And that's what's happening here. The people of God are as dark and as dirty and so devoid of glimmer that they are as earthen pots, right? If you ever look at archaeological digs in the ancient Near East, you know, when we think of earthen pots, we think of like ceramic, you know, shiny ceramic glazed, fired, kiln-fired pottery that is beautiful. And they may have had some of that in the ancient Near East, but for the most part, it's like the clay pots that are fired, and they still look like dirt. Like the old southwestern Native American Mesoamerican pottery, and that's how they are, just like those broken earthen pots, dirty earthen pots. That don't shimmer in any light. And they're even worse, the writer of Lamentation says, they're even worse than animals, right? Instead of nursing their young, they've become cruel to them, right? We hear of infants starving and thirsting, their tongues sticking to the top of their mouths because they have no water. That the people of God who once feasted on extravagant delicacies that only the people of Israel could eat, now they perish in the streets from hunger. They beg and nobody gives them food. And even the royalty, those who were once royalty, who wore purple, who wore purple because of the royalty and the connections that they had, now they are wearing and embracing sackcloth and ashes. And this is not how things were supposed to be. When they came into the promised land, right? You remember the reports that were given by the spies, right? That it was like an Edenic paradise, a land flowing with milk and honey, where everyone has their own tree and their own vine, and they eat from the fruit of their own vine. Right? But how far the people of God have fallen from the glory of God. Oh, how dim the gold has become. The holy stones, right? It just reminds us that this language of the holy stones, of how the people of Israel, the great high priest, had 12 precious stones shining, glimmering on his breastplate, representing all the tribes of Israel. The picture here in verse 2 is that all the stones have just been thrown about like rocks on every street. They're scattered. They don't shine anymore. Why has it become all so dimmed? Right? Look at verse 6. Why did it all become so dim? Why is it all like this? For the chastisement of the daughter of my people has been greater than the punishment of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment and no hands were wrung. See, here's how Sodom had it better than exiled Israel here. Sodom was destroyed in a moment. They didn't suffer. But the people of God, Judah, it's as if their suffering has been stretched out, excruciating, slowly, for years and years and years over a lengthy period of time. That's suffering. Friends, brothers, sisters, this has several applications and implications for us today. First, it reminds us that our sins have real and deep, lasting consequences in our lives. We reap what we sow. And when we, like Israel, choose to turn our backs on the Lord, we shouldn't be surprised when He turns His back on us for a while. And when we, like Israel, when we choose not to follow the Lord, then we shouldn't be surprised when the Lord leaves us alone, leaves us to our own devices, leaves us exposed, leaves us in our neediness, and we think we can take care of ourselves. When we don't want Him in our lives, here's the thing. When we don't want Him in our lives, like gold, we all grow dim. Think about that for a moment. Why? Because the shininess of gold is not in the gold itself, but in the light that shines off of it. Because the shining of the gold is not in the gold, but it's in the glory of God. Israel has dimmed because the glory of God is gone from them. How can gold shine if there's no light? In the dark, gold has no light to reflect, so it might as well be dirt. Do you see? And so when we choose to turn away from the light of God's glory and grace and love in our lives, we all grow dim. Everything grows dim. Our lives, our joy, our peace, our assurance, our happiness, our possessions, our families, our marriages, it all grows dim because there is no light of the countenance of God for which it should shine. And so if things in our lives grow dim, if the things that we once thought were blessings to us, but now they're just They don't glimmer. They're just dirt. They don't shine. There's no joy. There's no beauty. There's no majesty. There's no joy in it. We need to bring them back into the light of God's countenance. And then we can let it shine once again in our lives. And it will shine once again brightly. Secondly, it reminds us that when our lives do grow dim, maybe it's God's chastisement to lead us to repentance, to lead us to go back to him in love. Right? I've been meditating and studying on the parable of the prodigal son. You know, one of my favorite parables, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I agree with Tim Keller. You know, I've been reflecting upon his work in Prodigal God and even Ed Clowney. And he thinks that it shouldn't be called the parable of the prodigal son. It should be the parable of the two sons, the older and the younger brothers. Anyway, after the prodigal son has squandered all of his father's inheritance on partying and his profligate lifestyle, he hits rock bottom, literally, the bottom of the trough, right? And one of the things that helped him turn back to his father, if you remember in the story, was remembering how good he once had it when he lived with his father. Right? In other words, what he's doing is he's looking back and he's thinking how shiny and how glorious the gold was, how good he once had it, and now look at it. There's everything is he's at the bottom of the trough, eating with the pigs, fighting for his next meal with them. Oh, even the servants, you know, thinking back, even the servants ate better than he's eating at that point. And so remembering how good we once had it when we walked with the Lord, when we loved him, when we had communion with him, when we obeyed him, when we trusted in him, when things were good, God wants us to remember those things so that we can go back to it rather than looking at what we've lost and then crying over it. I mean, we ought to do that. We ought to lament, of course. But that lament ought to lead us to repentance and not leave us in our tears. And so we can have that glimmer of gold in our lives once again if we repent and return to the Lord, if we want to go back to his love and his goodness and his grace. And that's exactly what the prodigal son did, didn't he? He remembered how good he had it and he went back so he could at least get a former taste of it. And in the end, he ended up getting way more than he ever dared dream or imagine. The Lord, that the Father treated him, that which is lost is now found. That which is dead is now alive again. A rescued sinner. Nothing is more precious in God's sight than a rescued and restored sinner. And that's one of the reasons why the Lord gives us memories, I think, to remember what life was like before we walked away from the Lord. Thirdly, another application here is it reminds us that our present circumstances, however difficult they are, right, however dim and despairing they may be, they are, again, also God's chastisement to see the folly of our sins and return to him. Not only does he want us to remember how good we had it, he wants us to see how bad we have it now so that we'll go back. And I think the writer purposely uses two Hebrew words here in verse 6, right? Notice how he talks about chastisement for Judah and punishment for Sodom. I think he does that on purpose because he wants us to see the chastisement of Judah as a fatherly chastisement, a fatherly discipline. That he's punishing Israel as a father punishes child in order to restore and reconcile and bring them back. And from Israel's point of view, it seems pretty bad, right? It seems worse than Sodom. And it may be. But they're not wiped off the face of the earth like Sodom was. And so there's always hope as long as God's people are alive and they experience this chastisement so that they can go back to the Lord. They can see what their sins have brought upon them. They can see the road of unhappiness and loneliness and isolation and sin brings with it so that Why do we keep going down this road when it makes us so unhappy, when it causes us so much pain? Why don't we just turn around and go back to the Lord? That's what God is doing here in chastising his people. And so he punishes them as like a beloved child, right? You see the language there in verse 6, of the daughter of my people. Rather than the punishment, the judicial punishment, as a judge punishing an enemy and banishing them once and for all. And so when we choose to walk in sin away from the Lord and our lives begin to fall apart, then when we experience the difficulties, let that be God's fatherly discipline. And let it be his kindness to lead you to repentance. And that's, I think that's what Paul means in Romans 2:4. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. That sometimes feeling and experiencing the difficulties of our sinful choices is a grace to us. Maybe we may not think of it at the moment, but it is a grace to us so that we can go back to the Lord in joy and restoration. Let me bring us to a close here. And I'll finish this passage, the rest of this passage, verse 7 to 12 next week. When the gold has dimmed, sometimes it's because there are impurities in the gold to begin with. And so those things can tarnish. And so what do? You could either clean it, or you can clean it and burn off all the impurities by melting it down under fire, letting the impurities rise to the top and sloughing them off so that all you get is pure and pure gold that can never tarnish, that can never be dimmed. And so I think that's what God is doing here. That the writer of Lamentations realizes that the gold has dimmed, and yet God is refining them like a refiner's fire to purify them so that the gold can shimmer once again and even greater, even better. And so he is refining them, purging them of their impurities, purging them of their sins, and later on they will shine again once more. But ultimately, this points us to the true son of Zion, the true prince, who is worth his weight in fine gold. In fact, worth more than gold, who refines us and purchases us with something infinitely more precious than gold. He refines us and redeems us with his very own precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? The writer of Peter says, you were purchased, you are not your own, you were purchased not with silver or gold, but with something more precious, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he took our sins and suffered and died on the cross. If anyone had a reason to lament of how the gold has dimmed, it was Jesus, who was rich beyond all splendor, who sat in the glory and glimmer of heaven, whose streets were paved with gold, whose walls were encrusted with diamonds and jewels, who himself shined with the glimmer of God's own glory, and how he gave all of that up, humbled himself, emptied himself, and made himself nothing. He who was rich became poor so that by his poverty we might become rich. And now he makes, the gold of this life may dim. But here's another reason why the gold can dim. Because maybe, through God's grace in the gospel of Christ, he wants to turn us into something that shines way brighter, infinitely brighter than gold. To shine with the very glory of his own resurrection life and power to resonate so that we shine brighter than any gold could ever shine. We shine with the very glimmer of the glory of our Savior. And that's why the gold of this world will dim, so that the glimmer of his glory in us will shine brighter than the sun. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth. Lord, how the gold has dimmed, but not only because of our sin, not only because of what we have forsaken, but what Jesus has done for us, that he has shined forth his own glory to redeem us so that we might shine with him, shine brighter than that gold. Lord, we thank you that we've been purchased not by gold or silver, but by the precious blood of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.